Hi, welcome to a London Miscellany podcast. My name's Steve. What I hope to do is to bring you some stories about the nation's capital that possibly you haven't heard before. For the last 10 years, I've been hosting guided tours around the city as I'm fascinated by London's history, streets, buildings, and most importantly, the people who once called the city home. While researching these tours, I always collect more information than I need. Sometimes because the story doesn't fit in with the theme of the tour, or possibly there's not enough time to tell it. I feel these are too good to waste, and for the last couple of years I've been posting them on a blog, but more of that later, as I'm itching to get on with the next story. So come with me back to a London that on the surface looks very different. But with human nature being what it is, look a little closer and you'll find nothing really changes. The Countess of Auschwitz. Gloucester Road Underground Station is a rather perplexing combination of buildings. As you turn into Gloucester Road from Courtfield Road, you are presented with the oxblood tarred facade of what was once the Deep Line Station, designed by Leslie Green, and adjoining it is the original Victorian Station building. The original station was opened in 1868 by the Metropolitan Railway, with the more modern version, which gave access to the deep level platforms, opened in 1906 by the Great Northern, Piccadilly and Brompton Railway. Today the two buildings have been amalgamated into one station, but they make interesting viewing. The sober, slightly austere Victorian building standing square with a hint of well-to-do Brompton townhouse about it, and next to it the slightly louche new kid on the block, warm, inviting and welcoming. Inside you find a rather cavernous platform area, vaulted in a greyish brick with period lamps hanging from the ceiling. Last year I used it many times over the course of a couple of days. During the morning and afternoon rush it's a busy and rather confusing station with many platforms, and because of the earlier amalgamation, three different lines: the Piccadilly, the Circle and the District. During the evening and into the night, when less frequented, it can feel rather sinister, and due to the acoustics, a little eerie. Returning late one night, I lingered on the underground Piccadilly platform to retie my shoelaces. Having done so, found myself alone, the train that had brought me having departed. As the sound died away, all that was left was the low hum of some station machinery. Then, from an indeterminable direction, I started to hear voices, followed by footsteps. Looking around, I saw nobody else on the platform. Now, I'm not trying to apportion any supernatural claims to this. The acoustics, as I said earlier, are slightly strange. But I must admit to not hanging about to see where these noises were coming from. However, the sound of footsteps did put me in mind of an event that occurred at the station some 70-odd years ago. Back in the late 1950s, the lift that gave access to the Deep Line Piccadilly platforms was controlled by an operator, usually the station foreman. On the 24th of May 1957, Emmanuel Akinyemi was on duty and he would collect tickets from passengers alighting from the Piccadilly trains before taking them to street level via the lift. Around 10:30 that evening, a train had just departed and Emmanuel, who was at his post at the far end of the platform, believed that nobody had alighted from it. A minute or so after the noise of the departing train had subsided, Emmanuel heard the sound of running footsteps on the emergency stairs. This usually indicated a passenger without a ticket was trying to avoid the collector. Deciding that the fare dodger had too much of a head start, he remained at his post. As the sound faded, he heard a woman's voice echoing from the platform area beyond, shouting, "Bandit!" He went to investigate and found a well-dressed elderly woman slowly walking towards him. As he got closer, he noticed that she had both hands clasped in front of her, clutching her chest. He said to her, "What about the bandits?" And as he helped her towards the lift, she replied, "I have been knifed." He then noticed blood seeping between her fingers, which was running down her jacket. The victim of this attack was Teresa Lubienska, a 73-year-old Polish countess. She lived at a flat in Cromwell Gardens, but at one time had belonged to a Polish aristocratic family. She'd lived a rather privileged but turbulent early life. While a married woman in her 30s, she lived on a large estate in southeast Poland. The Bolshevik Revolution in 1918 saw Lenin create a Polish Revolutionary Committee, Polrevkom, in effect a Bolshevik government for Poland. All titled lands were seized, and when her husband Edward remonstrated with the occupying soldiers, they bayoneted him to death. Teresa and her two children were forced to flee, taking only the possessions that they could carry. She managed to place her son, Stanislaw, at a military academy, while she and her daughters lived in rather diminished circumstances, finally ending up in a small Warsaw flat. During her time here, she became an active member of the Polish Red Cross. In 1939, the Germans invaded Poland, and Stanislaw, by now a junior officer in the Polish army, was mobilised to defend the country. But he died in the first days of the fighting. Incensed by the loss of her only son, Teresa began to work for the Polish resistance movement, organising assistance for the civilian population of the capital. Her flat was also a venue for clandestine meetings of Polish resistance cells. In 1942, she was betrayed to the Nazi authorities and incarcerated in Pawiak prison for interrogation before being sent to Auschwitz concentration camp, awaiting a death sentence. Fortunately, due to the intervention of the Swedish Red Cross, her sentence was commuted and she spent the rest of the war in the camp. Upon liberation, she came to the UK and with the help of friends set up a new life in London, where she formed the Association of Ex-Political Prisoners to help displaced victims of the Nazi regime. On the 24th of May 1957, she had dined with friends at a house in Ealing and had travelled back to Gloucester Road Station for the short walk back to her flat. She was helped into the lift by Emmanuel Akinyemi and taken to street level, during which he asked again, "What about the bandit?" But he received no reply. Once on the station concourse, he dialed 999 for an ambulance and was soon joined by the beat constable, PC Ron Sherfield, who accompanied the injured woman to St Mary Abbott's Hospital. And en route, she said her last words.
"I was on the platform, then stabbed."
She died shortly after arriving at hospital. The post-mortem showed that she had 5 wounds caused by a small 2-inch single-bladed knife. She had been stabbed 3 times in the chest, 2 piercing her heart, once in the stomach and once in the back. A tattooed number, 44747, on her arm gave a clue to her identity and past. The subsequent investigation showed no attempt to steal property from her, and so it was thought unlikely to have been a robbery. The small knife seemed a strange weapon for an assassin to use, and a well-lit platform is not an ideal place to carry out a premeditated murder. The police seemed rather baffled. The train on which the Countess had travelled was identified, but the driver was unable to assist, and a search of the tunnels found no further clues. Over 18,000 people were interviewed and several suspects were identified, but were eliminated from inquiries. A man, seen loitering on the station on the days prior to the assault, was found, but was in the care of a mental hospital at the time of the crime, which this day remains unsolved. The Countess's daughter claimed that the motives for the murder were political, but this was ruled out by the authorities. You've been listening to a London Miscellany podcast, which was written and produced by me, Steve Matthews. You can find more stories and information about the tours that I host by visiting www.alondonmiscellany.com. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out other episodes. Goodbye.